everybody here today, and especially those who are joining us online, we welcome you. And we trust that, you know, this is a special day we come together, not just because it's Mother's Day, but it's also a day of rejoicing, because it's a day the Lord has created that we can rejoice and be glad in it. I think we are so glad now with a more relaxed rulings in terms of COVID, we are resuming back to our regular worship time. That means I get to preach longer. Okay, but we see how it goes. But we always aim to end our whole service by 4:30. So if you really want to get into the Word of God, well, this is the time, one more time, we can gather as a household of faith, really soak into the Word of God. And just way ahead, a couple of weeks' time, we're going to do a whole new book series on 1 Timothy, followed by 2 Timothy. And I will suggest, if you can, spend time to read it, spend time to meditate upon it, especially 1 Timothy, a lot of interesting passages, like a woman will be saved through childbirth. Well, you better have to read that and just soak it in. What does that mean? But again, on Mother's Day, those of you who have been with me for the longest time, I always resisted preaching a Mother's Day sermon. Why? Because I'm a biblical preacher. Mother's Day cannot be found in the Bible. And you're supposed to laugh, right? And it is a social construct, right? So I always resisted that. But I think my resistance comes more from a pastoral viewpoint. Why? Because I know many people don't look forward towards Mother's Day. And because there are some ladies who wants to be mothers but never had the chance to be, never given the opportunity. And some who are mothers, but somehow along with years, with situation, they have lost that closeness with their children. They were once close. Maybe there was a misunderstanding. Maybe Mother's Day is miserable. No one remembered them or called them. And again, you know, some have recently lost their mother. You know, in fact, a friend of mine in Perth, she's a young mother. She passed away yesterday from COVID complication, leaving behind 3 young kids. Imagine, today is Mother's Day. We need to keep that family in prayer. And I mean, in one sense, it is very difficult. And then I also know of mothers who have lost their child. So all this point to the importance that we can't assume this day everyone will have the same joy or have the same, what I call, respectable nostalgia their mother brings on this particular day. Not every lady who wakes up today is going to have French toast and lobster or caviar. And, you know, sometimes, even for some of us, we struggle with our relationship with our mothers. And if you go to the aisles of any shop, you are a great mom, you are a great cook. There's never sometimes a very simple card that say, thank you for just being my mom, because that's all they can appreciate their mothers. Tough. So in one sense, it's difficult to give caring and outstanding mothers the recognition they deserve on this day. At the same time, consoling others who are unable to experience parenthood. But I like how Calvin sets the tone by saying, look, some of us are real mothers, but some of us play mothering roles, and you know, especially in our age group ministry, with our children, with our youth, with our young adults, and you are valuable. You play a role. So in one sense, sometime in life, we get forfeited by situation that can't allow us to be mothers, but as a community, we can exercise that grace, we can exercise that love and friendship for other people's children so that they can grow from faith to faith. So today, my sermon title is Passing On the Legacy of Faith to Our Children. Passing on the Legacy of Faith to Our Children. So as I say that, we were going to start on the series on 1 and 2 Timothy, but I just want us to jump straight to 2 Timothy first. Let me set the scene in chapter 1. If you ever read the life of Timothy in Acts, Timothy is in the Jewish culture called a Munzer, M-U-M-Z-E-R. A manza is a very strong word. It's almost calling a person or a child a bastard. That's how bad it was. But it is not because he was illegitimate by birth, but rather his father was Greek, his father was a Gentile, and his mother was a Jew. And so according to the culture at that time, if you marry to someone who's not of the Jewish race, your children doesn't really exist. They are called a manza. And so when Paul met him, Paul decided to circumcise him because Paul saw in this young man a potential for ministry. And because Paul felt he was called to reach out to the Jews as well as to the Gentiles. And so by circumcising Timothy, and now Paul didn't do this out of legalism, he did it out of practicality because he needs to bring Timothy to the house of the Jewish people. And so Paul was a Pharisee by profession, remember? And so to him, he said, if this guy is a good Jew to me, he is a Jew to all of you. So none of you can say he's not Jewish, he's not a manzer anymore because I circumcise him. I give him legitimacy. But look at 2 Timothy here. We go on to understand chapter 1 to verse 1 to verse 6. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. At this point in Timothy's life, he was going to become a pastor of the church of Ephesus. And so Paul wrote to him two letters like a spiritual father, like a mentor, encouraging him of how he should administer that grace that was in his life. But Paul, in 2 Timothy, began to so-called reveal to Timothy about his life, that Timothy, in his faith journey, he was never alone. And so today, I just want to take three points I want to share with you. First, faith is generational. Faith is generational. How many of you are first-generation Christian in your family? Okay, a few of you. How many of you have parents or grandparents who were Christians? So, in one sense, about half of us are first-generation believer. But the other half of us are what we call second or third generation believer. Faith is generational. Here, for Timothy, he had a godly grandmother, Lois, and a godly mother, Eunice, who journeyed with him. They were not perfect. They were not perfect parents, but they were effective in the sense of passing on of faith. I think as parents, especially moms, I need to tell you, you don't have to be perfect. Say to yourself, I don't have to be perfect. Okay? Say to your husband, I don't have to be perfect, and he will faint, right? But the thing is this, but I can be effective. Effectiveness is, to me, at least from the word, is a passing on of faith. Our children will pick up our habit, whether good or bad. Okay, that is a given. I'm going to tell you this. But what is important is they will pick up that journey of our life, of faith. So even though Eunice married someone who was an outsider, when he came to know Jesus Christ, he began to so-called imprint upon Timothy that same faith. And so when Paul saw Timothy having that faith, Paul says, if he is a household of faith, who then can deny him of a ministry? But Paul journeyed with him. But besides Timothy's so-called upbringing, he was greatly influenced by the faith of two women in his life. But Paul reminded him that there was a gift in his life. There was an impartation when Paul saw him years ago. He laid hand on this young man. Scholars are divided. What gift did Timothy actually receive? Some say that that was his ordination to become a pastor. Some say that it was his gifting to become an evangelist, because later part in Timothy say, do the work of the evangelist. But either which way, Timothy has a high calling in his life. But Paul says to him, though you have a good upbringing, though you have spiritual parents or a godly heritage in your life, though God was involved in your calling by giving you a supernatural gift because you have a supernatural calling, you yourself also must take personal responsibility. So he says here, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Grandparents, parents, our faith is generational. We need to pass on that faith from one generation to another. A missiologist once said that Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. Is it not true? If we don't pass our faith to our children or to our children's children, it will extinct. But much more than this, faith, my second point, is relational. No one can grow their faith by themselves. Yes, there are times we need time of solitude, what we call quiet time, right? Time where we just spend time with the Father in reading the Word. We have personal worship. But our faith is always relational. We cannot grow by ourselves. And First Light, as you know, for the longest time, we have life groups, we have Bible study groups, we have contact groups, we have 3-2-1. We always encourage every one of us here to connect to something, because we understand faith is very relational. Paul was a good spiritual friend. He was like a mentor. He came alongside Timothy. And this is very important. And it is actually from this text years ago, before Amanda and Ned was born, I will tell you this, that there's two things we always pray, okay? When you see them, please don't tease them. The first thing we always prayed the day they was born was they will find their life partner. I remember holding Amanda, holding Ned. On the day I saw them, I began to prophesy over their life. Parents, start prophesizing over your children. Okay? Don't doom them. If you don't study, you're going to fail. Don't say that. But prophesy. Speak God's purpose into their life. Stir up that spirit in them. But number two, always pray that they have good life partners. But the third thing I always pray that, Father, there must come a time that they need spiritual friends to surround them, mentors. So when both Amanda and Ned was hitting teenagehood, I always tell them, it's time for you guys to pray for a spiritual mentor to journey with you. We are still your parents, but you need people who can parent you in the things of God, or parents' things in your life beyond what we can parent you. If we can do that, that is what we call secure parenting. We don't always think we must be the one having all the answers. We must not think we must be the one who must always be there for them. While we choose to be there for them all, or most of the time, we must also trust that God will lead them to men and women of God who will nurture and mature their faith. So here was Lewis, here was Eunice, bringing up this young boy in the faith because there was an absentee father, or at least we all know from Scripture, from Acts, from Timothy, Timothy's dad was not a believer or was an absentee dad. But this two lady allowed Paul to bring this young man to journey with him. And bear in mind, those days, now there's no easy way to travel. You get what I'm saying? There's no budget air. There's no flight points. It's tough. But here was Timothy following Paul. And Paul began to impart, began to talk to him, began to nurture him. There's two things that one of the critical things that we did praying for them was to find both of them so-called godly godparents. So both Amanda and Ned had godly godparents. And we give them permission. Speak to my children as if they are yours. Train them as if they are yours. So both Amanda's godparent and Ned's godparent, speak to my children as if it was theirs. I think that is most helpful. Especially in our community of ours, we must sometimes learn to give permission to other parents or that when the leaders are teacher, please feel free to speak into the life of my children. If they need encouragement, encourage them. If they need rebuke, rebuke them. You see, there is a difference between being a manager and a spiritual parent. A manager will only bring you to their level. But every parent here will agree. We want our children to go beyond us. Is it not true? We want our children to go, be more successful than we are. Be better in doing stuff for the kingdom than we can. In one sense, we want our children to stand on our shoulder to make a difference. And this is how privileged in First Light that I can say a great number of us are very fruitful, having many children. I'm not looking at you, Krista. Is one come on the way anymore? Or, you know? I was teasing her at the time. What's the name of your latest? Is it called At Last? Or Few? Or Finally? Actually, I was being cheeky. I said you should call it Thankful. Yeah? Terrible. She just come back to church. I'm teasing her. Hey, don't leave her. But faith is relational. Parents, can we do that? Can we start praying for our children to have godly mentors? Godly leaders. And speak to our leaders. I'm even like this next few weeks, like Paul and Francis taking a break from ministry, from TBC. And I thank God for Pastor Jeremy for stepping up. You know, encourage our leaders. Not just say, oh, thank you. But really encourage them. You have permission to speak to the life of my children. And I say this with all clarity that, you know, for Amanda and for Ned, it has never been easy for them to be pastor's kid. Somehow people think pastor's kid, you know, are exceptionally good. Well, take it whatever you want. They're like your kids. They mess up. Okay, unlike their father, they don't walk on waters, you know, and they are human. And I thank God that after so many years, they are still of the faith. And one thing I'm glad for Amanda and Ned, they speak to me and Joanne very readily where they are in their faith journey. We're not usually the one who say, are you praying? Are you reading the Bible? They will be the one say, oh, I read the Bible this morning. I was just thinking about this sermon the other day. I want to talk to you about this and that. You know, and just one thing I just read the other day, it says, we all must raise our kids or even ourselves with childlike faith. What does it mean to have a childlike faith? If you have children, you know, they never stop asking you questions. I remember every time I bring my kids back from school, Ned is number one. Papa, I got a question. How come God this? How come God that? I don't know. How come you don't know? You're a pastor. Oh, pressure, a lot of pressure. It's okay the pastor don't know. I say, that's why the Lord gave us the Bible. But one thing, church, I want you to promise me. Treat Ollie and Jonah with love. Okay, I know Pastor Jeremy or Mel will never say that, but I'm going to say it. Because I saw how my kids were treated. I want you guys to promise me, treat them as normal. Love them as you love their parents. And once we can do that as a community, once we do that as a people of God, people will say there's something about this church is the people here are not just loving, but they are also caring. But most important, they are healing. All of us here are broken by something in life. But what's important as a church, let us not break each other further. But let us come that people can not just feel safe or secure, but people can find peace. And say, this is a place I want to be. Not because of the facilities, but the people here are real. We don't always have the answer. We are not always perfect. But we are always moving forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third thing I want to share is faith is communicable. Okay? Our faith cannot grow by isolation. We need a community. We need people who will come and tell us, you are doing all right. How many of us need that? You are doing all right. Because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. One of the things that rob us of confidence, one of the things that destroy faith is some of us have very strong negative thinking. You know, some of us are worriers. Worriers are people who love rehearsing their pain before it comes, don't they? But we need people who are real to us and say to us, hey, you know, you're doing okay. And they're not saying this as a glib way of saying things, but they say it with genuinity, they say it with love and authenticity. And this is how Paul did when in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to 17, you can mark that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. Here was Paul commanding Timothy to the Corinthians. Paul couldn't go and minister to them. He was not available, but he said this, I don't write these things merely to make you feel uncomfortable, because Paul was correcting the Corinthians, and we know the Corinthians was full of problems. So I say, I'm not writing all this to make you feel uncomfortable, but that you may realize facts. You may know the truth. He said to this church, you are my dear children. You see, he did not say, I'm your pastor, I'm your apostles, I'm your teacher, I'm your evangelist. Rather say, you are my dear children, because I say, a manager will bring you to the level, but a spiritual parent wants you to pursue or go beyond something beyond a lifetime. And so he said this, that you may have 10,000 teachers in Christian faith, but you cannot have many fathers. I think it's very true, you know. Especially, you know, we can hear all kinds of preachers, all kinds of speakers, and today in modern time, we can access to many, many thousands of sermons. But can we genuinely say there's someone in my life who is truly my spiritual father or spiritual mother, someone who cares for my faith? Can there be someone, even my peer, who acts like a mentor? If you don't have any, then my question is, why not? It's never too late to start. It's never too late to ask someone, a couple in church, someone that you know outside, can you mentor me? Can you be my spiritual parent? Can you be someone who can nurture me in my faith? And I thank God in my life, I have people who mentored me, people who journeyed with me. I remember when I first started in my church, if you think my preaching is bad, wait till you hear me 30 years ago. My pronunciation was horrible. And in Singapore, I was pastoring this church. Half the members were school teachers. And they were English teachers. And so for the first few weeks I was preaching, I saw them vigorously writing notes. I was so impressed with my sermon. They're writing notes. Wow, everyone was writing notes. And after sermon, one of them came, school principal. How you pronounce this word? Grasp. How about this word? Clasp. Every Sunday, that school principal will come and show me all my mispronunciation. How many of you look forward to going to church like that? I have two. I'm the pastor. But that guy became one of my biggest or strongest friend. He's 92 years old today and still texting me once in a while. I say, I hope to see you soon when you come back to Singapore and all this and that. If our church are filled with people who write notes, and don't be afraid. Till today, some people still laugh at my accent. My excuse is, I'm sorry, I've been in this country for too long. Now, the thing is this. We must develop not just thick skin, but we develop a sense of able to receive from each other. Because faith is communicable. And this is what Paul says. Many of you have teachers. It's easy to hear sermons today, but how many of you really have a spiritual father in your life? People who really care for you and wants you to go further than you can before. So he says, for in Jesus Christ, I am your spiritual father through the gospel. That is why I implore you to follow the footsteps of me, your father. Okay, I'm reading to you from the Phillips translation. I sent Timothy to you to help you in this, for he himself is my much loved and faithful son in the Lord, and he will remind you of those ways of living in Christ, which I teach in every church to which I go. And that is the heart of a father. I can't be with you guys, but I'm sending someone who knows everything, who understands everything, and this guy is called Timothy, and he will journey with you and help you to pursue what I always want you to pursue, because he will remind you of those ways of living in Christ, which I teach in every church to which I go. So faith is not just me and God, but faith is also passing it on to others. You have insights that I don't have. I have insights someone else may not have, but someone else may have insight which is going to shape and train me to see beyond what I can see. As a pastor, you may expect I should know a bit more than the rest of you, but I also tell you the truth, I do not know everything. But imagine we come together as a 3-2-1, or we come together as like group, or just having conversation. Don't be afraid to talk about your spiritual faith, your journey. Where are you? And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, okay, this is the last slide. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is one of our five simple truths, right? Be strong in the grace. How are we to be strong? It says here, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Faith is communicable. He told Timothy, what you have heard from me, now you pass it on. Why was this critical? Because this was the end of the apostolic age. This was the end of the original foundation prophets, the prophets that laid the foundation, like Peter, like John. They were coming to the end of their so-called physical life. That's why you read Peter's letter, 1st and 2nd Peter. You read John's letter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You read even in 1st, 2nd Timothy. All these apostles knew the end was coming. Either persecution is going to get them or death is going to get them somewhere in another. And now they are preparing the church what is going to happen after we are gone. And this is why it's so important to remember, going back that whole loop, faith is generational. If we have received faith from our parents, from our godparents, or from our so-called spiritual parents, we want to pass it on to another generation of believers. If you are first generation believers, then I will ask you with all my love, is that look for people who can run with you, who can journey with you, so that you can pass on your faith, understanding, your faith experience to the next generation. Parents, if you have children, two things I ask you to pray. One, their life partner. Someone you, oh, my kid's too young. No, never too young. Now my children are in their 20s. I say, why can't y'all be young again? When they were young, I say, grow up faster. But now I say, oh, it's too fast. I'm preparing myself to be a grandparent. But they're not spoken for, so I'm still praying. But next thing is, most important is to pray that they have spiritual parents or mentors who can journey with them. That's all right at this time. For those of us who have children or grandchildren, let's offer them to the Lord one more time. Just lead them before the Lord. And I just want to encourage parents tonight, if you go back home, lay hands on your children and speak into their life. Prophesy over them if you have never done it. Because this is one of the gifts you can give them that will build a legacy. There is something in each of your children that the Lord wants you to say to them. God can use a pastor, a prophet, God can use a teacher, but God wants to use you specifically, because the words that come out from your mouth is going to shape their life. Proverbs says, train a child in the way he should go or she should go, and they will not depart from it. Don't train them the way you want them to go. Yes, we all have dreams. Sometimes we want our children to live vicariously for us what we don't have. But there must come a time that we must speak forth what is of God. And if you let God use you to speak forth to them tonight, record what you're going to say and start praying and believing, their life were not only going to be faithful, but also fruitful. For every one of us who never had a mentor or spiritual father or mother in our life, pray that God will send someone. Pray that God will have someone who, you say, Lord, just send me someone. Send me a couple. Send me someone who cares for my spiritual life. Who's not afraid to correct me, who's not afraid to strengthen me, who's not afraid to encourage me. As you pray, believe that God will send someone as an assignment to your life, but you also must believe, because we can't grow by ourselves. But we are so grateful of friends and loved ones who cares for us, but we all know we need someone who will just run with us. And their joy and their delight is that we will go beyond where they are. So, Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name for every prayer that's uttered in our hearts, for every hopes and dreams. I pray there is a fresh stirring of faith that, Father, in Jesus' name, first light is that place of people, the gathering of saints, who love each other, but we also love our children's children, and we love them to greatness, we love them to faith. And we pray for all our young people, in Jesus' name, help them find a good life partner, helpmate. For those who are planning to have family, in Jesus' name, blessed will be their fruit of the womb. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.